Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, and I am so happy to have on our show Coach Nick Caduti. First of all, welcome, Coach. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
So am I, and I'm sure our listeners are also, Coach. You do these absolutely fantastic videos on the For the Bloggy YouTube channel. They give tremendous insight into Penn State football from a coach's point of view, which is fantastic. Our listeners, you guys, you definitely have to check them out. I love these videos. And if you have our app, there's a button that will take you directly there. So let's get started with this first opportunity to talk to Nick. I want to talk to you about the video you did about Coach Mike Yurcich, the new offensive coordinator at Penn State. And let's just start with the most basic question. What does Mike Yurcich offense mean?
You know, I think a lot of people are going to go back and look at the Ohio State and the Texas films because that has been his most recent stops. But I think at Ohio State, he took a step back, got a big program, got a big name that he worked for. So I think that you're not really going to see too much of what was his system. I think when you went to Texas and took the offensive coordinator job under Tom Herman, I think that Tom, and knowing Tom, he definitely had his hand involved in the offense. And there was a lot of systematic things that I saw from Tom Herman's offense that it was being run with last year at Texas. But if you go back and look at Oklahoma State, I think that Yurcich is going to be a tempo RPO guy. He's going to run a lot of two-back cowboy stuff. He's going to do a bunch of cowboy stuff. He's going to get a lot of the what's the word I'm looking for? He's going to have a little bit of the wide zone, inside zone, RPO read stuff. He didn't use a running quarterback at Oklahoma State, but I think that the ability for him to, use a running quarterback that Penn State has right now is going to be really effective for him.
Now, when you say cowboy, in the Oklahoma State offense, they would use an H-back, and that's who they called the cowboy. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, because he was such an integral part of the offense that they had that they basically had created a position and called it a cowboy back because it was so important to what they did. Because it's more or less the adjuster in the offense. He can move around. He makes adjustments. They can tag different things. And that's the one guy that can do it all. And I think that with all the tight ends that Penn State has recruited over the time and Freiermuth being the guy he was previously, you're going to get this idea of these tight ends being in that position on the field and probably going to be used a lot more than they've been used previously.
And after Freiermuth went down, they did play often with two tight ends. They had two capable tight ends. And what I thought was important, it looked like both of them were willing blockers, which when you go into that H-back position, that's a big part of it, right?
Yeah, it's going to be less of a receiving position and more of almost more of a fullback position than a tight end. And that's really important, especially in that offense.
Gotcha. Now, the other part to this, and you mentioned it, was the hurry-up offense. Penn State, we've seen the no huddle, but they'd go to the line of scrimmage, and everyone would go look at the sideline for the play, as opposed to hurry-up means getting to the line of scrimmage, running a play quickly. What are the advantages to doing that?
You know, and I think that, there's an advantage to both. The biggest thing about being a hurry-up offense that Yurcich does is it allows him to be in a very base personnel or to jump into an unbalanced formation and catch a defense off guard. When you hurry up your packages, it forces the defense to be very basic in what they do because they can't be exotic, because they don't know what you're going to do, they can't set up. So, when you game plan a football team and you get in a situation where you get in a situation where you have an offense that only does a select few things. You have to be able to mask and smoke and mirror it all you can, and that's what the hurry-up does. It forces the defense to not really rely on tendencies as much as just base defense. So when you do your scouting reports you know, you don't have to worry about all that exotic stuff. You're going to get the most basic thing those defensive guys are going to give you.
Gotcha. And isn't there also an advantage if you don't substitute, the defense won't be able to substitute either, correct, if you hurry up to the line of scrimmage? So if they're in a defense that was set up for that third and long, and now you are first and 10, they're stuck with the same personnel, correct?
Yeah, the beautiful thing about what he does is he usually keeps it in 20 personnel, which means two running backs, zero tight ends. And I think that what that does is it, you know, it allows him to move that B back around, that cowboy back around, to move him into 2x2, 3x1. I think the big thing is he can change formations with his personnel, never change personnel, which allows him to stay on the field quicker. And, you know, Nick Saban has many times talked about the unfair advantage that offenses have if they don't change personnel and they hurry up. But you see, that's the one thing that I think is going to give them an advantage that Penn State fans haven't really seen, and that's the true hurry-up system.
No, we haven't seen that. The other thing, and again, from watching your video, which was so helpful, again, it's the For the Bloggy YouTube channel. Make sure you check it out. It's so helpful to see the actual video as Coach is going over this. But you also showed really wide splits for the wide receivers. And it sounds logical. Is this a case where you're stretching out the defense horizontally as well as vertically? Is that the goal of doing that?
Yeah, and you know, it's the Art Briles theory of I'm going to make you defend 53 and a third. I'm going to make you defend every yard from sideline to sideline, and I'm going to make you defend 100 yards vertically. And so that wide split forces defense to create an idea of, okay, I have to take these kids, and you'll hear people talk about all the time, a conflict defender, somebody that plays between, he has run responsibility, but he also has pass responsibility. And if you, the more you move your splits out at receiver, the more that it moves those conflict players out wide, which allows you to be able to run the ball. If those conflict players then go inside, it allows you to throw the ball a little easier, and you don't have to worry about that guy being able to play both.
And it also sounded like when you separate your offense so much, spread it out so much, you're kind of forcing the hand of the defense as opposed to zone or man-to-man. Even that alone forces them into man-to-man because the defenders are out on an island with those receivers who are so wide.
Right, 100%. And it goes back to the idea of, you know, if you go back and watch Art Briles, same idea. I'm going to spread you out. I'm going to put you as wide as I can. We're a run-first offense, but if you take that away from us, then we have those splits. We have true one-on-ones, and we believe that our receivers are better than your DBs.
Well, let's talk about the RPO part of this offense. And again, this is what I learned from watching the video. The RPO, it seems like there was always a key, a single defender for the quarterback to read. And I would assume that turns it into a pretty easy read for the quarterback then, because he only needs to really watch one guy.
Yeah, 100%. I think that, you know, you watch a lot of NFL TV shows, and, you know, you've heard the buzz of RPO. But, you know, for those who don't know, it just means run pass option. And the reality of it is, it's to have a run play called with a pass behind it. And there's always, if the quarterback's not running the ball, everybody on the football field, you're playing basically 11 on 10, right? So there's one person that you can't account for, that you just can't. And that one person is what they're going to read. And so if it was basically it started as a way for non-athletic quarterbacks to run an option without having to put their body into play for running the ball. So, you know, if you go back to, you know, Tom Osborne, or you go back to any of the old school wishbone offenses, it was an option offense. It was, if you do this, I do this. If you do this, I do this. Because, again, there's always a 10 on 11 thing. So when you don't have a running quarterback and you want to throw the ball, your ability to create that option is through the passing game. And so that's how this whole trend started. I mean, he does a really good job of creating that RPO look. He basically finds one kid, and he identifies him based on the play, and he reads that one play, that one kid. If it's a safety, it could be a linebacker, it could be anybody in the second or third level, and if that guy makes a decision to play the run, then he throws the ball behind it or to the side or whatever it might be, whatever he designed, and if that kid sits and plays, that means he's not fitting the run game immediately, which means now you have an extra gap. and that's why they do it.
And it also, again, from watching the video, it was fascinating to see where you were showing Oklahoma State's offense. Same formation. The first time the kid in conflict, I believe, was a linebacker, he took a step forward. Immediately the pass went over his head. The second time, run the same formation, and you almost could see the wheels turning in that kid's head. Uh-oh, I've seen this before.
Right.
He drops back thinking he's going to see the pass, and lo and behold, what do you get? A big hole for the running back, right?
Yeah, and the theory is, I'm going to make you wrong no matter what choice you make. You're never going to be right. As long as my kid can read it, I'm always going to be right, and you're always going to be wrong. You know, it also goes back to, you know, if I'm Yursich, I don't have to out-coach Jim Harbaugh. I have to out-coach that 20-year-old kid on the field.
That's a good way of putting it. Now, you've seen some of Sean Clifford playing. Sean Clifford had, for the casual fan, we looked at it and said he had a pretty good 2019 season. We were looking forward to 2020 and him making step forward. That didn't really happen. I don't know if you saw enough of Sean Clifford to see what his issues were, but do you see Mike Yursich and his offense as a good fit for Sean Clifford, or vice versa? Is Sean Clifford the good fit?
I think he is, and I think a lot of people really don't give Sean Clifford the credit he deserves, and the reason being is this is his third offensive coordinator in 3 years, and that's a hard thing to do for a kid who, at a position, it's about comfort, it's about time and spent and reps. And I think that, but I think this offense is going to fit his ability to do things. He does make really quick one-read decisions. If you go back and watch videos previously, I broke him down. He does a really good job when he has one quick read and he lets the ball go and rips it. I think where he struggles is that true traditional pro-style multiple-level read offense. And right now, that's not what Yursich is going to do to him. And I think you might be really shocked at the step he takes in 2021.
Penn State fans will be excited to hear that. Okay, we've got 30 seconds left for this last question. They're talking about putting the quarterback under center, which was unheard of with James Franklin here at Penn State. What advantage does that do if they're going to do that occasionally?
It's all about downhill movement. It's all about getting the wide zone set. It's all about play action off of it. The deeper the running back under center, it's all about play action, getting the deep shot, and getting a much better run fit.
Very good. All right. This went really fast, Coach. We're going to have to do it again. But unfortunately, that is it for this edition of the show. Thank you all for tuning in. And make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.